Well,
good evening, everybody, and welcome to 15-Minute Conundrum. I am your host, Ms. Ricky R. Jones, and I thank you so much for being on with me for the next 30 minutes. I really do appreciate it. Welcome to the 15-Minute Conundrum. For those of you who have been listening to and supporting the 15-Minute Conundrum, I truly appreciate it. Thank you for being there with me. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to spend your next 30 minutes with me, and I greatly do appreciate that so, so very much. The number to call in is 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. Let me tell you how the conundrum goes. So how the conundrum goes is this. It's usually based on either a conversation that I've had with people, something that's going on in the news, me listening to music. It depends. It comes from a variety of ways. But it just strikes me. And a conundrum is basically a question or a problem that requires some type of answer to it. And for the most part, we may not get to an answer at the end of our 30 minutes, but it definitely sets up a good conversation. So a lot has been going on. A lot has been going on. Thank you so much for all of you all who tuned in last week. I hope everyone had a wonderful Father's Day, and you mothers who are doing your thing, I hope you sat down and just let the day be. But there's been so much going on in the news lately that it's just been really, really ridiculous. And those of you who called in maybe about 2 weeks ago when we started talking about whether or not there's a race war going on, I'm sorry, you still can't tell me otherwise. But it's just, it's just a whole lot going on. So tonight's 15 minutes, the conundrum for 30 minutes, but it's the 15 minute. Tonight's episode is really, here's the question. So we've had the murders in Charleston. We are still saddened by it. It's still everything that's going on, the conversation that is taking place, good, bad, or indifferent. And the biggest thing now is the whole idea of getting and removing the Confederate flag. So now here's the question. So they're going to remove the Confederate flag. We protest, we boycott, but really, is that helping us change our narrative? And I'm going to ask that again. So they remove the Confederate flag, we protest, we boycott, but is that really helping us? And when I say us, our narrative, I mean African Americans, people of color, black, whatever you want to choose to identify yourself as, whatever label that you want to put on, is that helping us change our narrative? And what I mean by that is if what the problem, underlining problem is that people are not understanding or they don't, you know, when they see us, they see something different, something vile or something non-human or something second rate or second class. How can you get someone to see a different view of you? Is it going to help by changing the Confederate flag? It may or may not. But if you notice, since the talk of them trying to pull down the Confederate flag, the conversation has gone a couple of different ways. You have people who are historians, and I'm just going to leave it at that, at historian. You know, I'm start with the historians first. Me being historian myself, I am a lover of history, regardless of how vile or how incredulous it is. It's just, it's history. That's what it is. It's part of the story that makes what we are and who we are today. It's part of the story. So just from a history standpoint, so you have the historian saying, listen, this flag represents bloodshed that was shed, you know, the war between the brothers and da-da-da-da-da-da. So you have that. Then you have the folks who are like, listen, that's the past. That's not where we are now. And I call them the utopian folks, you know, the ideologists, the people who want to move on and get to that higher level. So you have that. And then you have the third side is all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins. And if you've noticed, that with all this conversations going on, so the different stores are pulling their Confederate stuff, and their different stores are doing this, that, and the thing, and third. But guess what? If you notice, all they're doing is pulling it, and the more they pull it, what's happening? The folks who are talking Benjamin, the people who are talking color, and I'm talking about the green color, guess what they're doing? They buying that stuff up, left, right, and it, I mean, the shit is falling off of the rack. I mean, the prices have gone up, the sales have gone up, people are online trying to find it, people trying to go into the shops, into the thrift stores trying to see if they can find it, and they're getting on to this memorabilia, this history, this narrative. If it's part of the history, if it's part of the narrative, or is it part of the culture and the climate that people want to live in? I don't know. Because some people are buying it because they know, they see the handwriting on the wall, this Confederate flag's going to come down. Let me buy it because it's a part of history. And then you just have some other jackasses who are just buying it because they subscribe to the ideology that goes behind that history. All right? So I'm saying all that, say, I'm saying all that to say, listen, what's the bottom line of all of this that we're doing? You had this man, and I'm tired of them talking about he's a boy, and he's this and he's that, and they give other people different terminologies and different terms that they want to tell him because it fits the narrative. That's some crap. He's a man. He was 21. He was a young man. He committed a murder. Simple as that. If it's on your own home soil, it's terrorism. You know, you like to use these damn words, then it should fit if you define them, and you should use them. Simple as that. I know they have different synonyms, but they're not the same. So what's the narrative we're trying to change? Because when you look at the grand scheme of things, and I'm speaking to the people of color, African American, black, whatever label that you like to check off, me, I am what I am. I am who I am, and that's I'm ashamed of my ethnicity because my race is human. I want y'all to get that wording correct. I'm not ashamed of my ethnicity because my race is human. And if any of you don't agree with that, you can definitely send me a message. I'm okay with that. I'm good. I'm here. Okay? 347-826-9723. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. If those of you who are on Facebook and you're doing to the Hand of Footprints page, you can message me directly. So make sure that you like the Hand of Footprints page first, and then make sure that you message me, you know, that we're here, okay? So anyway, as I was saying, I'm proud of my ethnicity, so that's not even that. What I'm trying to get us to understand, those of us who are the same ethnicity, we can boycott, we can try to make that green color be the main conversation, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean a damn thing until you change the narrative of what your story is in the first place, okay? So what you saying, Ricky? What I'm saying is this. If you don't want them to look at you as a shiftless baby daddy having, baby mama getting, welfare recipient paying, weave having, what else? Always wearing a hoodie, robbing a place, don't have a job, don't have a pot to piss it in the window, throw it out of. We need to change the narrative because that's what they see. When they killed Trayvon, because he was murdered. When they killed Trayvon, all they saw was this black boy with this hood on. And the narrative that they got from that was, he ain't nothing. I can't say what I want to say because I didn't make this explicit. But he ain't nothing but that. I'll use the other word that they used to call it, the jigaboo. And he is all about crime and not being shiftless and lazy and lawless. If we keep perpetuating the narrative, because if you think about it, let's just put everything aside. We know the man killed the 9 people, and it's a sin and a shame. And why did he kill him? The boy had perfect sense. He had enough. He had more sense than the goddamn mint. So it's not even about that bullshit. What it's about is the narrative that he has been taught. And we don't help change the damn narrative because we do. And it's, what's sad is we have a small population of black folks who are shiftless, who are welfare generational grabbing, who are thieves, who are buying into the self-hate, whether it's the self-hate of their own damn skin because they get caught up in colorism, or whether they get into the self-hate of they can't enjoy the love of their own natural beauty and their natural hair by getting out there and spending so much goddamn money in somebody else's store instead of going to their own places and they get buying their own materials, that they got to get to the point where you got to take out a goddamn loan for your flipping tracks and your wigs and all that kind of crap. Change the damn narrative, because that's what it comes down to. We can protest. Let me tell you something. It's a little bit different nowadays. It is. I appreciate those who protested for us, but their protests aligned with the narrative that they were showing. They showed you that because when they did these bus boycotts, they weren't boycotting the buses because, or I should say the narrative, because, you know, they didn't have people who were trying to get on the bus to get to work. No, these people were trying to get to work, make an honest living, be an American in America, because that's what it's supposed to be about. We're all supposed to be flipping Americans in America. So they had the narrative of these people want to work, they want to make an honest living, raise their children, and just be happy, get a piece of the goddamn American pie. That was the damn narrative. That's why they protested. They protested and they showed the narrative of strong, intelligent, hardworking people of color who were not slaves, who meant that they could give something to society, they could be a part of society, contribute to society, to the American life. They had a narrative. What's the narrative that we have now? What's the narrative? And you wonder why they don't like us, and you wonder why they come and say all crazy kind of ways. You wonder why so-called rape, well, I'm not going to call it so-called, like y'all like to term it, racism, because really racism is the belief in one race. And since we're all human race, there's no such thing as the word racism. Now, what you want to talk about is that you have a prejudice against different ethnicities and cultures. That's a difference. That's discrimination. So there's discrimination going on. But I'm not going to get into the whole history lesson, because, see, that's where the history, if you all go back and go find a Webster's Dictionary and go back way, way back in the day, you'll find the real term of racism. But anywho, the narrative during the civil rights movement was that we have a place and a stake and a say because we are Americans just like you are, and we have a purpose and we can contribute and we can be a part of the American life. What the hell is the narrative? You have generations, and some of you all, I must be stepping on your feet, and you guess what? You'll get over yourself. Move your feet in. We have generations of folks who are getting assistance. We have states and cities who are deciding that they're going to cut off education funding. They're going to make scores mandatory for certain groups of kids. They're going to make sure they're going to cut off food for children because they're spending too much money. Listen. If y'all took your happy asses to school on a regular basis, I'm not even talking about high school. Let's go further back. Parents, I know we're trying to get down and we're trying to do the best that we can for our kids and do our thing. But listen, first of all, there have always been baby mamas and there have always been baby daddies. That ain't nothing new. This is just, now we just got terminology for the bull. But we've always had that. You've always had people who were Section 8 or people who rented houses. We've always had that. But the thing of it is, you never knew it because everybody took pride in whatever they had, and they did what they had to do so they could be a contributing American. They can be a contributing part of this society because they knew who they were. They were of African descent, but yet they know that they were damn Americans, and they knew that they had a right to be able to contribute, a right to be able to get what they wanted and what they needed to contribute to be a part of this society. What the hell is the narrative? We do all this protest and we holler Black Lives Matter, and I still say, who the hell is making money off them Black Lives Matter T-shirts? Because I haven't seen it come into anybody's neighborhood, have you? 347-826-9723. Press the number 1 if you want to join the conversation. But we're going with this whole thing of Black Lives Matter and, you know, hands up and don't shoot and all this kind of stuff, and the conversation that we're having with the cops and da-da-da, all this stuff that's going on is a distraction from what the real problem is. The real problem is, what the hell is our narrative? We can protest till we blue in the face. You see what happens? You see what happens when we protest? Not a goddamn thing. It stays on the news for a week or two, not even 2 weeks, from Sunday to Sunday, when the new round of everybody on the political scene starts talking about some other stuff. It stays from Sunday to Sunday, then the conversation switches. Now, social media will make it last a couple of weeks, well, not even a couple of weeks, maybe a week and a half, and then it's on something new. Or they deviate from the original, what was talking about, to other aspects of it, because now we're talking about, because if you notice, a history buff, you know, people talking about, well, if you want to take down the Confederate flag because it's a symbol of what used to be, then take down the statue of Denmark Vesey. Really? Are the hell are you serious? Here was, and for those of you, Denmark, V-E-S-S-E-Y, or Vesey, depending on how you want to pronounce it, Vesey or Vesey, okay? Go Google it. You Google every damn thing else, Google that. But in a nutshell, he started the slave revolt to try to get, hey, we want our freedom, we want this, we want that. And they eventually erected, because it's a part of history, it's part of the narrative to show the kind of people that we are and what we come from. They were like, well, we're taking down a flag, why can't you take down that? That is a total different, that's a distraction, Statue of Denmark. That promotes violence and protest and all that. Okay, really? Really with the bullshit? That's the distraction. Distraction is, what the hell is the narrative that you want people to see? What is the story that you want people to tell? When they look at you and you don't want them to see, and you don't want them to see just your black face and think that you're a hood rat and think that you're this and think that you're that, then what is it that you want them to see? What's the narrative? Because we can protest, and I'm not saying don't protest. I'm not saying that, because that is, you know, the beginning forms of effective change. It forces people to have the conversation, even though they don't want to have the conversation with you, but it forces people to have a conversation with you, okay? So protest, boycott. I don't like I don't like some of the stores that they have that are pulling the Confederate flag anyway, so I don't shop in them damn stores anyway, so they don't have to worry about my little black dollars going in there anyhow. But if enough of my black dollars with my black folks, my people, my countrymen, get into the store, and enough of the abolitionist whites who believe in there should be humanity for everyone, everyone should be on a fair playing field, if the money boycott conversation is what you want to have, by all means have it, because money talks. Money talks. Money talks all damn day long, okay? So I'm all for having that conversation and doing the protest. I'm not saying don't protest, because please don't email me and say, oh, Ricky, you just don't want any kind of change. No, I do want effective change, but I want to get to the point where we stop having our children in these poor performing schools, and we stop having our people think that they can do just whatever they can do to us. They can just close down schools. They can just cut funding, because we protest afterwards. No. How about you see that our children are bright? You see that we have children out here who are making strides, leaps, and bounds, not just one or two. I mean droves of children who are making leaps and bounds in the areas of science, technology, and math. Okay? Hello? Okay. Engineering and math. STEM. STEM. Get that right. All right. We have droves of kids who are doing these kind of things. If we start teaching our people to be able to stand on their own two feet. I do believe that you should protest, but I also believe that you need to take care of the hell your own. Because if you look at these other ethnicities in this America, because all of us are damn immigrants, each and every one of us, we are a whole damn country of immigrants. Everybody immigrated, migrated their happy asses to this country, because hell, none of us are indigenous to this land except for the Native Americans, okay? So you got to change the narrative. And what you notice in the different ethnicities is they all make sure that they have. They make sure that they stay with their culture. And I know what you're saying. Oh, Ricky, we got robbed of our culture. I got that. Well, guess what, God darn? We here to hell now, and our culture is American. And what the hell are you going to do with it? I know that I'm of African descent, but I also know that in the swabbing of my mouth, you know, my people are from the Caribbean, and I have some folks who are from Europe, and I have a couple other things. So I get all that. But listen, change the damn narrative. You see all these other ethnicities, you know what they do? They stand. They make sure that their children have. They make sure that they support their own. They make sure that people in their community look out for each other. Okay? 347-826-9723. I see you all, what you scared? You know, you all don't want to have this conversation. That's fine. I'll have the damn conversation by myself. But I do have a caller. Good evening, caller. Welcome to 60 Minute Conundrum.
Well, you sound like a good old-fashioned Republican tonight, and I'm so proud, housing upon your life. Because not to cut you off, but they are the same values that I believe in. You can't blame people for what you do. First of all, just to talk about the African Americans, okay? Our young are being miseducated by their own parents. Let's forget about the school systems, all right? Because they failed our kids a long time ago. But back in the day when the school systems used to fail the kids, the parent was there to make sure they had proper tutoring or to make sure that whatever they could do extra for that child to pass, to make it, they did. So you go into the socioeconomic standpoint, okay, and then you look at how welfare, like you said, the welfare generationalists had changed the course of how people are now in their own communities. Back in the old days, can you hear me? Can you hear me loud and clear, Ricky?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Back in the old days, you had, I'm traveling right now, so back in the old days, you had people that cared about you that wasn't your mother or your father. It was Sister Johnson down the block. It was Mr. Turner up the creek. Some people are gone now. You know, crack generation changed everything. It changed how you look at society as a whole. It changed how, situations are. You know what I mean? So that's how that is. So now, the way you're speaking tonight. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I get that. But there are still... Even though, you know, because we're of that age where crack came, you know, we're not the crack. Well, yeah, we are, because a lot of us got these crack damn babies. But we grew up in that area. But a lot of our parents were of the age of, you know, during the movement and everything else. And there was stuff that we grew up seeing, stuff that we grew up doing. And
right.
It's just a whole thing of, where did we stop? I mean, I know crack came in and this whole got to make the money and all that kind of stuff, but there's still some of us out here. Matter of fact, there's a lot of us the hell out here who grew up the same way, where you never knew who was renting on the block because everybody got out and threw bleach water on the steps, on the marble steps, and scrubbed down their steps, and everyone kept their house clean, and everyone looked out for the neighbors. So my whole thing is, where the hell, we're out here, and now we're on CNN, we're on Blog Talk Radio, we're in the NAACP, we're in Action Coast, we're here, we're there, we're every other where. Where the hell are we? Because I get that we need to protest, but why are we not changing the narrative? Because at the end of the damn day, you can protest till you blue in the goddamn face. If the narrative is not matching what you're trying to protest, then it don't make a hill of beans. The people will see you like, oh, well, that's just the Jigboos marching again. Because I did mark this explicit, so I can't call it.
That's just
them marching again.
Well,
if we don't change the narrative, it means not a damn thing.
Ricky, am I still on? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good, because I was on mute for a minute. Here's the situation. They are out here. It's all about where you can find them. Are you on the radio? Are you telling the people right now what they need to hear? So people are out there. People make excuses. That's what I was about to say. You know how we stand on our network, okay? We're out here. We're trying to tell people. You know, now it seems like it's more like the so-called John the Baptist wilderness teachings. Because, you know, we're trying to prepare for the coming of righteousness is here. But people don't want to hear it. So everybody's not, conducive to hear righteousness. People want to be, they'd rather hear ratchetness than righteousness. So, you know, I'm going to let you go. And you're having a great show, Ricky. I appreciate you. And continue what you're doing with your ministry with Conundrum.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. I appreciate your constant support. But it just goes back to what I'm saying to you guys. I mean, we can protest. I'm not saying we don't need to protest. I'm not saying that we don't need to lobby for our things and, you know, and to do what we do, because all of that goes hand in hand. But we need that narrative to change. You want that white man to treat you close to an equal as possible? Because I'm going to tell you, and I don't want you all to get caught up in, oh, Ricky, you're a white man lover. Listen, because I don't want to hear that bull. I don't want to hear that bull either. You have different types of people in all ethnicities. It doesn't have anything with color. Some people don't want to be bothered. They don't care what you are. You're not them. They don't want to be bothered. So that is never going to change. That's the self-hate that they have. You hear what I said? That's the self-hate that they have. You're not going to change them. Don't worry about them. Who you need to try to change is, one, you need to look in your own goddamn mirror and change the stuff that you see, not in just in yourself, but what you see in yourself in the community. And if the standards that you're living to or things that you're trying to do, you don't see that reflective in the community, in the people that look like you, then John Brown, you really need to go ahead and try to make that narrative change, all right? It is all about protest. Yes, protest. Lobby. Make your voice be heard. But also change the narrative. You want that person who may actually look at you, the reason why they look at you the way they look at you when you get on the elevator and grab their purse or clutch their cheeks or clutch their wallet, the reason why they look at you like that is because that's the only thing they know. It has nothing to do with they hate you. They don't know you. They just go by what they've been shown. And hell, what they've been shown by other people and what they've been shown by the people that look like you. So those are the people that you can make effective change with. So if you want to make effective change with them, show them something different in the narrative. So when you sit down and you break bread with, like the people say, those people, whatever, that's some bull crap too. Sometimes you got to sit down and break bread with people, and you get to show them. And when I mean break bread, you got to work in the spaces and all that kind of stuff. You sit down and show them a different narrative. Show them the community that you live in and be like, oh, I didn't know. Yep, you didn't know. So now that you know, let's go on from there. We don't have to look at, look, I didn't know. Now you know, so you can't say you've never seen a person who's like that. Okay? Change the narrative, ladies and gentlemen. Change the doggone narrative. I don't understand why you can't change the damn narrative. What's so hard about it? Get off your asses and change the narrative. I'm on air trying to get you all to call in so that we can have a conversation about the narrative. I'm teaching my son. I'm teaching the kids in the neighborhood. I'm in front of a class of young folks who have kids and try to teach them how to change their narrative, how to make what people see not be how the story really is. So if you want people to look at you, you want effective change, then damn it, change your story and start it in your house and let it grow like a seed and a weed and everything. You know how you have weed in the ground? Let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Okay? Change the damn narrative. You want these people to see you for something more than what they see you? Change the narrative. And that doesn't mean you, oh, I'm just going to deal with only just my kind of people. No, that's not how the world works around. You gotta work with people. You have to work with people. And when you find understanding about yourself and you share that understanding with other people, then they'll share their understanding, what they know about themselves. And guess what? Everybody got an understanding. They may not agree, but they understand. So protest. Do what you all keep on doing. But the bottom line is you need to change the damn narrative, because at the end of the day, that's what really counts, changing the story. If you want to reach me, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google+. You can also hit me up in my email, themsrrikkijones@gmail.com. But only send me these kind, only reach me in these different mediums if you want to actually change the narrative. If you want to complain and fuss and cuss and talk about all this, that, and other thing, and the third, I'm going to delete you and I'm going to shout you out on social media, okay? God willing, I'll see you guys next week on Wednesday night, but definitely make sure you tune in to Hannah Footprints, What Is Your Legacy, as we close out the month of June, changing the narrative, talking about the positive black men and what they're doing. We're going to be on with Celebrity Stylists. Make sure you tune in Saturday morning. God willing, thank you for being with me. Good night.